ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 9th chapter, text number 9 through 12. Tateti Ragya Bihitam Tateti Ragya Bihitam Sarvaloka Hitakshiva Sarvaloka Hitakshiva Dadhara Vahito Gangam Dadhara Vahito Gangam Padaputa Jalam Hare Padaputa Jalam Hare Translation. When King Bhagirath approached Lord Shiva and requested him to sustain the forceful waves of the Ganges, Lord Shiva accepted the proposal by saying, "Let it be so." Then with great attention he sustained the Ganges on his head, for the water of the Ganges is purifying, having emanated from the toes of Lord Vishnu. Text 10. Bhagiratha sarajarshir ninye bhuvana pavanim Yatra sva pitrinam deha pasmi bhutas masherate. The great and saintly king Bhagirath brought the Ganges, which can deliver all the fallen souls, to that place on earth where the bodies of his forefathers lay burnt to ashes. Ratena vayu vegena prayantam anudhavati deshan punanti nirdagdan Ashinchat Sagarat Majan. Bhagirath mounted a swift chariot and drove before Mother Ganges, who followed him, purifying many countries, until they reached the ashes of Bhagirath's forefathers, the sons of Sagar, who were thus sprinkled with water from the Ganges. Yajjala sparsha matrena brahmadanda hata api Sagarat Maja divang jagmu kevalang deha basmabi. Because the sons of Sagar Maharaj had offended a great personality, the heat of their bodies had increased, and they were burned to ashes. But simply by being sprinkled with water from the Ganges, all of them became eligible to go to the heavenly planets. What then is to be said of those who use the water of Mother Ganges to worship her? Purport. Mother Ganges is worshipped by the water of the Ganges. A devotee takes a little water from the Ganges and offers it back to the Ganges. When a devotee takes the water, Mother Ganges does not lose anything. And when the water is offered back, Mother Ganges does not increase. But in this way, the worshipper of the Ganges is benefited. Similarly, the devotee of the Lord offers the Lord patram pushpam phalam toyam, a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, in great devotion. But everything, including the leaf, flower, fruit, and water, belongs to the Lord, and therefore there is nothing to renounce or to accept. One must simply take advantage of the bhakti process, because by following this process, one doesn't lose anything, but gains the favor of the Supreme Person. Yeah. The blessings of the Vaishnavas. I'm very happy to be here again in Radha Gopinath Mandir. In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the dynasty of Angshuman is discussed. And it is described that Angshuman was unsuccessful in bringing the Ganges down to earth, as was his son, Dilipa. But Dilipa's son, Bhagirath, he was successful by his great austerity. He pleased Mother Ganges, and she agreed to appear on earth under two conditions. Number one, there would be a suitable male who would sustain her powers, her forces, so that she would not just go down to the hellish planets and be polluted by all those living entities. And number two, she was concerned about the sins of all the people who are going to take bath in her and who will pollute her.
So she was assured that those conditions would be met. So Lord Shiva agreed to carry her on his head. And as we learned from the previous verses, the devotees of the Lord, the pure devotees who are none different from Vishnu, they are purifying the Ganges by taking bath in the Ganges. So she mercifully appeared in this universe. In the same way as Mother Ganges has appeared in this universe to deliver the conditioned soul, the conditioned souls, Srila Prabhupada has taken the Vedic literatures and he has made them accessible to the conditioned souls. If you would examine the vast amounts of Vedas that are there, it is impossible for any living being to read these books, to comprehend them, and to understand them in full, because they're too vast. There is millions of verses. So Srila Prabhupada, he has taken all the essence of the Vedic literatures and he has made them accessible to the living entities, just like Lord Shiva, by his own power and potency, has taken the force, the powerful force of the Ganges, and sustained it on his head. And he has made it accessible for the living entities so that they can benefit from it. Because nowadays in Kali Yuga, who can say that they can study Vedas and really get the real benefit from it? Yesterday, I was in Dadar station, and it was very nice. And I was meeting one person who told me that I know everything. I said, that's very humble. But he went further. He said, I also know all 700 shlokas of Gita by heart. But you do not know anything. So you are a cheater. You are a rascal. You're an imposter. So I could see that here was a person who had studied Vedas, who had learned so many hundreds of shlokas. He was rattling shlokas. I had to step out of the way not to get hurt by all his words. So, but he could not sustain that powerful force of Vedas because he did not have the attitude, the mood that Lord Shiva had to benefit the living entities, that Srila Prabhupada had to benefit the living entities. So the Ganges came through the shells of the universe. How did the Ganges came through? Vamandev, Upendra, he pierced the shells of the universe by his toe. So only Krishna, he can crack through those layers of coverings so that the mercy of the Ganges is accessible. In the same way, if we want to make the mercy of the Vedic literatures, of the books of Srila Prabhupada, accessible to the living entities and accessible even to ourselves, we have to crack through those layers of coverings. We read in 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev's instructions on Sankhya Yoga, all the different coverings, how they work, and how difficult it is to break through them. But only Krishna, he can break through those coverings in the form of his holy name and in the form of his pure devotee. He breaks through them. It is stated, Nirideha Madhyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karnadharam Mayanukulena Nabasvateritam Puman Bhavabdim Nataretsa Atmaha. That through the ears we receive instructions from Guru. And that Shabda Brahma, that spiritual knowledge, cracks through all our coverings and touches us in the heart, if we allow that process to happen. So, but many times we hear but we don't hear. Our eyes are covered. Our ears are covered. We are completely submerged in these different coverings of the material energy. So, through the potency of the holy name and through the potency of Guru's mercy, can that process of cracking through those coverings take place. Now, in 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna tells to Uddhava Dakshina Gyana Sandesha, that the real remuneration to Guru is not words of praise, is not money, is not gifts of cloth or food, but it is to take instructions from Guru and to give it to others according to one's realization, according to one's vigyan. Not simply parrot repetition, but according to one's realization, one should speak and give this knowledge to one's friends, to one's family members, and to the people in general. That is the way to repay Guru. So, we are all indebted to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to our Guru Parampara, to our Diksha Guru, and instructing gurus. And in order to repay, try to repay that debt, we should endeavor to give people the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, of Bhagavad Gita, by making these literatures accessible to them. In the same way, like Lord Shiva sustained the waters of the Ganges. We heard yesterday how difficult it is to sustain great pressure for a prolonged period of time. So you can imagine Lord Shiva, he's sustaining the entire force of the Ganges. And the Acharyas, they have taken the Vedic literatures and they have given their purports and the essence to make it accessible for all living entities. So let us work together very diligently, very enthusiastically to try to repay our spiritual masters, our founder Acharya, in the same way like Angshuman, Dilip, Bhagirath. They didn't just say, hey, you know, my forefathers got wiped out, you know, they were rascals, tough luck, they deserved it, you know, they had it coming. No. They knew it is their duty as a son to try to deliver their forefathers. And even if their father could not have achieved it, they were following in the same way and working very determinedly to fulfill the family, the dynasty's mission. So, in the same way, we should become inspired to do that. 2 years ago, I was in Ganga Sagar Mela, where the Ganges goes into the Bay of Bengal. Any one of you have been there? In Makara Sankranti? It is quite a special place, and it is quite a special time. It's in middle of January, and it's quite cold. And there is 1 million people. And it's just an island. You have to take boat to get there. And people come from all over India. They travel many days by trains and buses. You see from people from Maharashtra, from UP, from Rajasthan, walking by foot, carrying all their luggage, their pots, simply to take snan at the right time. Because at that moment, you will taste the nectar of the gods. Did you taste the nectar of the gods? That's why he's so blissful. He tasted the nectar of the gods. And there was 300 plus devotees there from Mayapur. We had a huge pandal and distributed 1 lakh of Khichdi Prasad to all the pilgrims. Gurukul boys were chanting and doing yagyas, and every day Harinam party went out. And it was like in a military, there was camps, small little tents everywhere. Everybody was camping out. And the kirtan started off from our camp with maybe 50 or 70 devotees with a cycle rickshaw just moving and some devotees playing Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. But it was like a snowball being rolled down a mountain. As the kirtan moved through the camp, people came out of the tents and were just joining in. And by the time we were at Kapilan Muni's ashram, there was over 1,000 people. And everybody was going mad. They were going insane, chanting and dancing Hare Krishna. So, we may not see the avalanche that is being launched by that one Gita that you give to some friend, to some relative, to some person. You may think, this is just a snowball, you know. Have you ever, I don't know how many of you have the experience with snowballs and avalanches, but I grew up in the Swiss mountains, so you have to be very careful. You don't throw snowballs down the hill, because a snowball picks up snow and it turns into an avalanche. So never underestimate the potency of the holy name. Never underestimate the potency of these transcendental literatures. You may think, oh, I'm just giving one book. What does it matter, right? There's 7 billion people out there. What does it matter? 20 million here in Bombay. But if you touch one person's heart, if by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we are able as an instrument to crack through the layers of covering of one conditioned soul and touch their heart, and there is that lava matra, that small moment, fraction of a second of reality, where the soul turns to Krishna and says, hey, this is it. This is the real thing. This works. Where you see that that Shraddha gets established in that person simply through coming in touch with the devotee and with Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, then you can see that that avalanche has started. Right now it looks still like a snowball. And it looks like not much is happening. It's just moving along its way. But after a while it picks up momentum, and all of a sudden an entire embankment may just break off and go down. So Srila Prabhupada, he went to Moscow in 71 from Mumbai. Shyamasundar Prabhu got him visa. They had to leave the next day. They spent 4 or 5 days in Moscow, talked to Professor Kotovsky and the son of the Indian ambassador and one other young Russian boy. And Prabhupada preached to them for a few days, and one Bhagavad Gita was left behind. And now, 40 years later, there is more than 10,000 people chanting Hare Krishna in the Moscow region. Can you imagine that? From one Bhagavad Gita and a few days. We might say, oh, that was Prabhupada, we cannot do that. But then give people Prabhupada, he can do that. If Prabhupada were to come to Mumbai, in a week's time, everybody would run around to try to contact the media, the friends, the relatives, everybody to make appointments with Prabhupada, right? You get busy, get the pandal, cross Maidan, here, there, let's arrange things. But that's exactly what's happening when you distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. You are making appointments, preaching programs, pandal programs for all living entities with Prabhupada's books. Because these books are going places you cannot imagine. They're reaching people we cannot imagine. We cannot reach them, but the books can go there. So we should never underestimate the potency of these books. How many of you have heard of CPM? Communist Party, Marxist. They ruled West Bengal. You've heard of them, right? For how long were they ruling West Bengal? All 30 and a half years, yes. Almost 40 years. Now I have a question to you. We're not discussing politics. This is history, and we should learn from history. How many communists from Russia went to West Bengal? This is an ideology, it's a belief, it's a religion, it's a faith, it's pure faith, which has turned two states, Kerala and West Bengal, completely under their spell. And it had different effects in different places, but that's for the historians to figure out. We're just discussing history here. How many communists went to West Bengal? Zero. How many communists went to Kerala? Zero. How could they subjugate the most literate state, Kerala, and one of the most populated states, and formerly one of the most culturally advanced states of India? How could they dominate them for decades? literature distribution. They massively distributed literature in the local languages and made them available to everybody, and they specifically targeted the intelligent people, the intellectuals, and in this way, they won over the entire state. So if that can be done by an ideology, by a, you know, made-up belief, what about Krishna consciousness? Nitya Siddha Krishna Bhakti Sadhu Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Kori Udoi. Krishna consciousness is there in the heart of every living entity. All it takes is a representative of Vamandev, of Upendra, to come and to pierce through those layers, through those coverings. But in order to do that, we can't be in the coverings ourselves, because otherwise our effort will not even pierce our own coverings, and we will only go ahankar on ahankar. That is why for us to take the medicine on a daily basis and to utilize the power of mantra, this world does not work by mechanics. This world works by mantra. Have you ever witnessed the power of mantra? Very simple words, you know. Sarira advidya jal, chodendra etai kal. All of a sudden you see massive amount of energy, a rush, a determination, unity in purpose, complete focus, ekeha kurunandana, samadhi, simply by uttering a few simple words. Or Guru Maharaj is coming. What happens? Everybody drops everything and just runs. So when we chant Hare Krishna, when we engage in preaching, when we give out books, do we have that same enthusiasm? Do we have that same taste? 90% of the time when people are not taking a book or they're not taking our word seriously, 90% of the time it's because of a lack of trust. They do not trust us. They do not trust that this will really benefit them, that it will really matter, that it can really make a difference. They think it doesn't matter. So I've seen yesterday, if the devotees just stand there holding books, it doesn't penetrate the shell of the coverings, because we are in our comfort zone and we are happy being protected by our upadis and by our ahankar. But if we are ready to penetrate through our layers of covering and venture out, then Krishna in the form of the holy name can touch the heart of so many individuals, so many living entities. And like sorry, just lost my chain of thought. That's what happens when you get too excited. And that's what you, when you take notes and you can't read your own notes, you know. It's like you take notes for the exam, you know, and you hide it. But then you can't read it because you've written so small, you know. So Krishna is making you humble in many different ways. Like you're out there and you're ready to say all the shlokas and say all the things, but people, they don't hear you. They don't see you. Like yesterday, they offered me the microphone. And I took the mic and I made a speech. And one or two people smiled, but everybody walked by. And I said, this is not working. We have to adopt a different strategy here. So I just dropped the mic, went out from behind the table, went out of comfort zone, and just went up to people and said, hello, how are you?
How are you doing?
Nice to meet you. I'm from Switzerland. Where are you from?
Really?
No. You look, they say, I'm from Bombay. I say, no. You look too peaceful. You look too happy to be from Bombay. What's your secret? And then boom, book goes in their hand. Books on yoga and meditation teaches you how to get free from stress. You heard of stress before? Really? No. So we don't sell this. People just give donation. Can you help? You see, when you venture out of comfort zone, Krishna can use you as an instrument. Prabodhananda Saraswati has said, when we meet people, we should tell them, my dear sir, my dear lady, you're a gentleman and a scholar. You are so learned, so educated. And they say, yes, yes, please continue, continue, go on. Don't stop, anything else you can tell me? Huh? It's like astrologers, you know, you tell people, yes, you will be prosperous and you'll have great success and a lot of whatever. Huh? And then people have full faith. Their ears grow like elephant ears because people are saying nice things about them. And then the end part may come out in different ways. Prabodhananda Saraswati or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur have said, okay, just give up all your nonsense and take to this Krishna consciousness. Or we may take people, we may tell people whatever, you're okay. You just add this Gita to your life and you will be doing excellent, fantastic. And people will believe. They will trust. Why? Because we are not criticizing them. We're not judging them. But we are accepting them. And we are giving them something which they can add to their lives, which is meaningful. So when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he broke a lot of rules. He bended a lot of them. And some of them were broken. And he changed the rules of the game because he saw what was the necessity of the time. He did not compromise in the principles of Krishna consciousness, but he adapted. He was flexible in the application because the form does not matter. It is the substance that matters. Just like the lover does not mind the garland, which is dirty with mud. Because it's love that counts. It's offered with affection. So in the same way, if we are sincerely trying to serve Prabhupada, to do something, to connect with souls, and to give them the chance of Krishna consciousness, we will also become fortunate, and we will become glorious. Even though that is not the desire, the purpose, but like King Bhagirath, he's glorified. Who doesn't know the Bhagirathi? Why? Because Bhagirath was the one who brought her. So, in the same way, let us take shelter of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and work together as a team. In the same way, like the dynasty of Anshuman, they worked together as a team. They all had a plan and they worked together to carry it out. And ultimately, they were successful. And then, when you take your snan on Makara Sankranti, that golden pot breaks open and that nectar of the gods comes pouring down on you. One drop of that nectar, one drop of the mercy of Guru can drown us in complete ecstasy. That is the Amrit we are hankering for. And it is that which is our sustenance. It is that which is our aspiration. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? How long is class lasting here? Okay. Any questions? Comments, critiques, additions? Okay, I tell one or two Sankirtan stories, if you don't mind. I was just coming from Delhi. Some devotees were telling that they went door to door and they were knocking on a person's door and nobody answered. There was two of them, two devotees. But the devotee kept on knocking, so the other one said, let's go, don't bother. And he said, no, somebody's inside. I know it, I can feel it. So he kept on knocking. And after a while, a lady came out all angry and upset. Why are you disturbing me? What are you doing here? Can't you see I'm busy? And they said, like, my dear lady, we're sorry, you know. We didn't mean to disturb you. We just came to show you Gita. And she started crying. She broke down crying. They said, why are you crying? First you're angry, now you're crying. What have we done? She said, let me show you. And she took them inside. And inside, she had a table and a chair on the table. And over the fan was a rope with a noose. So she said, I was just about to commit suicide. I was just about to hang myself. And you guys just keep on knocking and knocking and knocking on this door. Okay, give me this book. All right, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to read your book. Because this is God's sign that I should take this Gita and read it. Huh? So all it takes is that moment. I was walking through Delhi International Airport, and I had two small books left because we, Vaisheshika Prabhu and myself, we walked up and down outside, and everybody who just smiled at us, we called them over and we gave them books. So almost all the books went. And we were just having a walk, you know. We're not going for book distribution. We're just walking and talking amongst ourselves. Because once you are actually happy doing what you're doing, people will come up to you and say, why are you so happy? Tell me. I want what you have. How can I have what you have? Then you can't tell them, well, you wait 5 years, you know, and then maybe you move into Brahmachari Ashram and you do this and you do that. You know, you just say, here, take this book. That's the start. So I was in the terminal lounge before boarding the flight, and there was one young sportsman I could see, around 40, and he was sitting alone, not doing anything, just sitting. So I walked past by him, but the super soul said, he's the one, go back. So you just have to listen. So I just turned around and I went back. And I gave him the books. And he told me that he was a cricket star, famous guy for 20 years. And then at 5 a.m. in the morning on the way to the gym, they stopped his car. They beat him over the head with a pipe and they cut his legs. So he could not more play anymore. He was finished. And he said that he understood that it was a sign of God that he had become too proud and he had become too egoistical. So that Krishna pulled the plug because of his pratishta. So he was actually a religious man. And now he's a referee, just working in matches like that. So he took the books. He was very happy to give a donation. So another time I was in Geneva going company to company, and there's a big security firm, security, cleaning, and hospitality, ISS. They're all over the world. So the headquarters is in Geneva. And I just kept on ringing because I knew this is a good company. But nobody came. So after a while, one man came to the door and he said, we're closed, you know. We're just having a conference meeting with all the directors, you know. I'm the chief executive. We really don't have time for this. But I could see that he's a nice person. We had that lava matra, you know. That moment was there. Because I showed him the book and he said, you know, I'm really interested in this. But right now is not a good time. I have 20 people waiting in the boardroom. I have to get back to my meeting. So I said, give me your card. So he gave me the card. I tried to reach him for the next 3 weeks. Busy, out of the country, leave a message. After 3 weeks, I could call him. I finally got through. I thought already, let's give it up. He's useless. It's not meant to happen. But something inside said, no, persist, go on. Finally, I got through to him. So he said, hey, where have you been? I've been looking for you. I said, yeah, right. So we met at a Chinese restaurant the same evening. I showed him the books, brought him the set. And he looked at the books. And he went like, wow, these books look really expensive. And I said, yes. And then he said, how much do they cost? And I said, well, how much do you think they cost? Just like if somebody asks you a question, you know, like what's the difference between the Pradhan and the Mahatattva? Then you don't know the answer. You just ask the question back to them. Well, what do you think? What is the difference between the Pradhan and the Mahatattva? That's a sure way how to, you know, get out of the jam. Because then they start speaking or speculating or whatever. So that's a trick, you know. Don't reveal it to anybody. But if you don't know the answer, just rephrase the question and ask it back to the person who has asked you the question. Like if they ask, is this religious? You ask them, well, what do you mean by religion? So he said about $100 per book, 5,000 rupees. Because, you know, the French edition, it's like in these red ones with the gold printing on it, green and gold printing, looks very classy. So I said, yes, that's about right. So he agreed to take the set, and he paid me $100 per book for the full set. And then after that, we talk and talk, and I just see this person is so nice. So I tell him, and he says that he's about to get married and his fiancé is in Italy and this and that. I say, why don't you take a set for her also? Give it as a gift, you know? This is the most valuable thing you can give. This will make your relationship, you know, auspicious. So he said, yeah, sure, okay. So I brought him another set and he gave me more money. And then we talk and talk and he's just like, yeah. So I said, you know what? I've given two sets to many people, but three sets I've not given to anybody. I want you to be that special person. Whoever is most dear to you, dear friend, dear family member, give them a gift of a set. So I brought one more set, and he gave me more money. So at the end, he gave 1.5 lakhs. It's not about the money, but it's knowing when that lava matra, when that connection has been made, you don't give up. Huh? You don't give up. You have to be persistent. I know many of you are very determined, very persistent in your preaching. And because of your efforts, because of your sincerity, so many have been able to get Krishna's mercy. I'm very happy to see that devotees of Radha Gopinath Mandir are spreading out all throughout India and even to other countries to distribute the mercy of Radha Gopinath. Just tell one story about Radha Gopinath. In Sydney, Australia, they also have Radha Gopinath. If you ever go to Australia, Sydney is the place. Radha Gopinath is there. I met a young Indian professional who was working in Sydney. And he said, I came to the temple three times and three times the altar was closed. And he was a little disappointed. But then things went bad in his life. He lost his job. He had family problems. And his ego was smashed. And for the first time, when he was a little humble, a little submissive, he came to the temple and the altar was open. And he could get darshan of Radha Gopinath. And he was so amazed because he had made, you know, there was quite some experience. You come three times to a place and it's closed. And then the next time, you have darshan of Radha Gopinath. So he took the books, he started chanting, and it really affected his life. And then his mother moved from India to Australia to stay with him, and she's bored at home. So he just got her full set of Prabhupada's books. And he said that's the best thing he ever did, because all day she's reading Bhagavatam, and she's so happy. And his life has completely changed simply because he got Prabhupada's books. And how did it happen? By the mercy of Radha Gopinath. So if you want to make Shri Radha Gopinath's mercy available to all living entities, let us follow in the footsteps of Bhagirath. Let us follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. And take that load, that responsibility from our spiritual masters and carry it on our head in a very respectful way. And in this way, not only our dynasty will be glorified, but also, we will actually be able to taste that amrit, that nectar, for which we are always hankering. So today is Ekadasi, and it's December, so it's a special day. Let us chant more attentively and make a sankalpa that I want to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. Every book counts. Every soul counts. Thank you very much, all Gauri Srila Prabhupada. Please bless us so we can stay appreciative and connected to this wonderful movement. I'm very grateful for the tolerance and patience of all the devotees here. I have to admit that I persisted in coming here simply because of the cooking of Palika Mataji. Because in the 90s, Juhu was the main place. But then we heard that there was a place there, down in south, Chowpatty, and you can eat good prasadam there, especially if you're a Westerner. You can go and sit in Radha Krishna Prabhu's flat, and Palika will serve you as much as you can eat. And that was a very appealing concept. So we came here often. And then we got to meet Maharaj, and the rest is history. So you have to be persistent in whatever service you do. You may think it doesn't count. I'm just making here, you know, paratha. But your paratha may change hearts. Like I can see my dear friend Brajachandra Prabhu, with his parathas, he's making, it increases my faith, my shraddha increases when I see devotees determinedly serving, persistently serving for so many years, even in situations which are difficult, even in services which are extremely difficult. Prabhuji doing crowd control, lovingly inducing people, please move forward, make space. One time I was in Mayapur and I was doing crowd control, and it's a tough job because it's a big crowd, and in Bengal, you know, people are not so disciplined like in Bombay. So I started pushing, and Hari Sori came up to me and said, Prabhupada told him, when you do crowd control, you have to push, but you have to keep on smiling. If you stop smiling, everybody hates you. Everybody becomes angry, and they want to fight you. So when you preach, when you distribute books, you have to push. It's no chance. There is pushing there, but you have to keep on smiling. Then nobody is disturbed, like Prabhuji is teaching us. So thank you for just being here and allowing all of us to come here to get inspired and to be part of this wonderful family. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Gaur Premanandi. Gaur Bhaktivrinda.